Third part of our study of John 17, Jesus prays for the unity of believers, verses 20 to 26. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Who's that? Us, absolutely us. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Mm-hmm. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. So, Jesus prays for the unity of believers. Jesus here is praying for all believers down through the ages, as we've said, including you and me. Anyone who is a follower of Jesus, anyone who has given their life to Christ, is being prayed for here by Jesus. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? 2,000 years ago, Jesus was praying for us today. What he prayed for his disciples whilst he was on earth, he now applies to us too. It applies to us. He prays for unity. The example being the unity of the Father and Son. And basically, Jesus is saying, replicate that. Do the same. Be as close to me and my Father as I am to my Father. We are in unity together. We are seen as one. Be one together. He's not saying uniformity. Everybody doing and thinking the same. But unity is where we can agree on the basics of our faith. We're going to be looking at the basics of our faith in the next few months, which will be really good. It's very easy for us to shun those who don't quite believe what we believe. I struggle to understand why people don't understand the importance of believers' baptism. I just don't understand it. It's there in Scripture as plain as anything. But that is not salvation. And we mustn't throw people out, the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. The same with those who believe in transubstantiation. The same with those who believe in somehow worshipping Mary. Not uniformity, but unity. Jesus is praying that the unity of believers will be an example, a witness to the world. Showing them that just as he loves us, he loves them too. Jesus loves those in mask no less than he loves us. And we are called to be in unity. We are all part of the vine. What we looked at in John 15. We're just different branches. That's hard for us to get to understand. I've told the story before and I'll tell it again. When I came up here as a regional minister, one of the things we did was we met together, the leaders in the northeast of England, met together at two retreats a year. And one of them was at Ampleforth College and we were there. And I met the Roman Catholic Bishop of Newcastle and Hexham. And I had a very, very, very negative view of Catholics. before I came up into this area. And I found that I was drawn towards this guy, that we got on very well together, that we talked and shared. And he asked me one or two things that we never would it have occurred in a public debate, but it was between friends. And I heard a couple of examples of where he'd gone to various meetings and just preached the gospel. And it was as though God gave me a great big slap round the head and said, I'm the one that decides whether people are in the kingdom or not. Yeah, I didn't agree with Kevin on lots of things, but I could agree on the basic gospel, which was the gospel he preached. Jesus is in us, just as Jesus and the Father are one. So what are the applications for us today, 2025? God's word is truth for our everyday living. God's gift of the Spirit also guides us into all truth. We are to stand against the world's standards. As individuals, as a church, and as churches in mass where we can. Things like the carols in the square, things like the Easter procession, are things where we can show people that we have a hope and a faith and we want to share with them. We are to stand against the world's standards. What can we do as individuals? Well, many of you that are on the prayer chain know that our friend Veronica, Vronk as we call her, is now in a hospice. And when we read the reports a couple of days ago, which she'd written, she said that it's amazing how many of the nurses and I suppose the volunteers in the hospice are asking her about her faith. And how many of them are taking J. John's Story of Easter booklet that she's got out. And J. John, who's a very good friend of them, sent a message asking for the address. And we thought, oh, there's another pile of these booklets going up to the hospice. What would I think like that when I was in a hospice? I hope and pray I would. But what an example of a godly woman who's not worried about the future. She has total peace. If God heals her, fantastic. If God takes her to be with himself, fantastic too. Humanly speaking, we will be devastated. But she's on with her work. She has time to share the good news. And I remember Ruth talking about her sister doing exactly the same. Having time, still time, to speak to somebody else about Jesus. We need to do that as individuals, as disciples of Christ, as a church, and as churches together, where we can. We are to point to Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Let's pray. Father God,